In light of the world situation today, I thought it good that we may take a look at what Scripture speaks with regard to the latter times regarding the beast and the Antichrist. And so the question is, what is this number on the board, 666? Is it the number of Satan? Is it the number of the beast? Is it the number of the Antichrist? Or all three? Where does it come from? Well, as you can imagine, there's good information in the Scripture. And do you want wisdom regarding this? If you want wisdom, turn to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. Everybody on the same page? You want wisdom? Verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Notice there's no Antichrist stated. We should not use the word Antichrist when speaking of the beast. The word Antichrist, surprisingly, does not occur in the book of Revelation at all. So here in verse 18, it's easy to see that they are not the same, the beast and Antichrist. This beast is not a false Messiah. The beast, as we will see, is the great world power in the latter times. It will be comprised of political power, military power, economic power, and then will have this mark of 666 on it. What is that organization or power? Is it world government? Is it Islamic? For example, I don't know if you know it, but ISIS, what's the logo of ISIS? It's SSS, which in is 666. Is it NATO? Is it the UN? Could it be the United States? Is it possible to be the EU, the European Union? Is it likely to have something like digital currency? Whatever it is, it's a world power. We will know it when we see it, whatever the case may be. But both the beast and the Antichrist will have this number, 666. So what is the origin of this number? You will recall from our past studies that in the Hebrew and in the Greek alphabets, every letter has a numerical value. For example, it's very common, we all know, in the Roman Greek numericals, we see X, for example, and we know it's 10. and we see the V and we know it's 5. L is 50. C is 100. 1V is 5V minus 1, which makes it 4. 10, for example, is X plus 1 makes it 11. 11 makes X. 10 plus 1 makes 11. They do not have numbers as such. An example, in Hebrew, A is equal to 1. B is equal to 2. However, 3 is not C. They're not in order in the Hebrew. G happens to be equal to 3. So a simple, very simple example of this, and by the way, Bible numerics is a huge study. I mean, I have a book on Bible numerics that's about 3 inches thick. Man spent several years just studying nothing but Bible numerics. Tells you a lot. But for example, in the Hebrew, the word for father is Abba. Well, A is equal to 1, and B is equal to 2, A, B, and then B is another 2, and finally A, another 1. So you add those up, the total value of Abba, which means father or man, is 6. Just to take that someplace, what's Jesus? Well, it adds up to be 888. In Scripture, these numbers have significance. They denote, for example, man is this number 6. But what does 1, it means man or father. But what, for example, what does 1 mean? Well, 1 means unity. 2, if you think about it, common sense, means division. But 3 means completeness. So you have two things that come together to make it complete. 4 is creative works. The number 5 signifies grace. We talked about 6, which is father or man. By the way, there's nothing for a transgender like 6.5 or whatever. 7 means a spiritual perfection. 8 is a new beginning. And we see that in our music, in the piano. An octave is 8 keys, and you start another octave. This is in our society. We don't even know it. But it is particularly through the Scriptures in a big way. Number 9, why do we have 9 Supreme Court justices? Because 9 signifies judgment. 10 is original perfection. 11, disorder. 12, we see it in the 12 disciples. Governmental perfection is 12. 13 is rebellion. If you're really interested in this to any greater degree, you can certainly look at Ethelbert Bullinger's book on Bible numerics and spend the next 5 or 6 years studying that. But it's very interesting. However, whatever the case, we don't want to confuse these two of the beast and the Antichrist. By confusing these two titles, we are apt to misunderstand Scripture. And it's plain here in verse 18 that we read that they are two different entities. The beast is an organization. The Antichrist is the person or being that will sell the people of the world and of Israel, of course, that he is their Messiah. And we'll consider the beast. It is this name and being that I want to dwell on this morning. The word Antichrist, the title occurs in the epistles of John only. You'd think it would be in Revelation, but it's only found in the epistles of John. And the preposition ante means primarily to be over against. It contains the idea of opposition or instead of. Also, Antichrist must be distinguished from false Christs, which is spoken of in Matthew chapter 24. Let me read that to you. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs. Notice that's plural. And false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So don't forget, Satan is a spiritual being, and he has certain elements of power that we don't have. And he is going to be involved in these false Christs and in this ultimate Antichrist. And he is going to have something that is going to appear to be very powerful, and powerful enough that it will even fool the elect, inasmuch as it were possible, they shall deceive, he says, the very elect. We don't want to be deceived. And there's ways here we're going to know before we're finished how we could be deceived, but how not to be deceived. The reference in 1st and 2nd John bear out some of what we're going to be speaking about. So turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, page 1872 in the Companion Bible. Look at two verses, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, plural again, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. This passage predisposes that there is to come some individual who shall be the Antichrist, singular. Kind of following up what we read there in Matthew about plural Antichrist. False Christ. But that this singular Antichrist has many forerunners of Antichrist, some of which they left without belief back at the time that John was writing. But John continues to address this in his writings in 1 John. Turn over to the 4th chapter of 1 John, verses 2 and 3. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world, even at that time. Here again we have doubt about the manner of Christ, the nature of Christ's person. It parallels the meaning of Antichrist as we read in chapter 2. These are those who simply did not, at that time, or do not believe that Christ was God incarnate in the flesh. But John continues in 2 John, a couple pages over, 2 John chapter 1, only one chapter, but verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Here John continues with much of the same of what he's written prior. However, there's something here that does not jump out in the English language, but is quite obvious in the Greek. In these two different passages, in 1 John and 2 John, the verb to come are used in reference to the Lord's coming in the flesh. In 1 John, where we read 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, it is the perfect tense and is equal to has come. And then in 2 John chapter 7, it's present participle and is coming. So we need to go back and read these according to the Greek. Go back to 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that cometh that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. They refused to acknowledge that Christ had come. Now, when you get over to 1 John chapter 7, here we're looking at the present particle form of the verb to come. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. One denies he has come already. One denies he will come. Characteristics of antichrist and anti-Christian teaching that we see even today. It's in our schools. It's in the media. It's in history, even here in the scriptures. It's in religion. And the beast will certainly believe such. The conclusion is the only pre-millennial kingdom spoken of in Scripture is the anti-Christian kingdom of the beast. You'll be taught sometimes that it's spiritual Israel. But that's not the case. The only pre-millennial kingdom will be the kingdom of the beast. At some point in time, there will be one in which the anti-Christian doctrine will climax. And I think we're in that period in history right now. In the Soviet Union, the Jehovah's Witnesses in the Soviet Union are being put in prison for what they teach and what they believe. And it's spreading dramatically, even in our own school systems. And this Antichrist in Scripture, like Judas, is referred to as the son of perdition or damnation. So the question has come up, how will we know if we're the very elect, how will we know this? Well, there's evidence over in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. In that 24th chapter, we look at verses 1-3 and 6. Jesus speaking, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Jump to verse 21. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then, if any man shall say unto you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that even if were possible, they shall deceive the elect." Then jump down to verse 29. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be broken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Don't let it fool you. The return of Christ will be unprecedented. You won't be able to miss it. Even dead people arise. You know, Christ was the only one that could speak with authority in the face of death. He said, "Put me in the ground, in 3 days I'll come out." He's the only one that's had the power to do that. His second coming, not Antichrist, his second coming is not going to be some stealth event. The world is going to know. Unlike anything that Antichrist can even do or even think about, the Antichrist is going to be slick, compelling, you know, lovey-dovey, peace and prosperity and so forth. But let me tell you something. The second coming of Christ is coming with wrath. And until you see that, don't believe anything you hear or see with regard to this 666 organization and 666 the man who is obviously a satanic possessed will take that over. But there's not likely to be anything what Christ is speaking about here in Matthew. You will know. And it's going to be, I don't know how, worldwide. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to it. I'd like to live long enough to see it. But of course, the Antichrist will be using his own name, which will be 666. But Christ Jesus' name is 888. And so that's going to be how you're going to know. It's going to be Antichrist is going to make everybody feel great, going to make everybody happy. It looks like world affairs are going to be good. During that time, there's a tribulation of great time and so forth. But when Christ comes, you're going to know it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. We're grateful for the word, for the understanding that we can have thereby. We look forward to your parousia, which is your coming. We thank you for the salvation that we have through that coming one, Christ Jesus, our Savior. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.